Cambridge International Education, Cambridge IGCSE, English as a Second Language. Paper 2. Listening. Exercise 1. You will hear 8 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, C or D, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. What did the boy buy at the market today?
Have you been to the market? What have you bought this time? That shirt you brought home last time was so old-fashioned.
I liked it. Dad used to wear stuff like that in the 1980s.
Anyway, show me. It isn't another T-shirt, is it? You've got a million already.
Wrong again. It's a jacket, see? It'll look cool with my favourite jeans. Maybe I'll wear it to the match on Saturday. What do you think?
Sure, why not? I actually don't mind it. Have you been to the market? What have you bought this time? That shirt you brought home last time was so old-fashioned.
I liked it. Dad used to wear stuff like that in the 1980s.
Anyway, show me. It isn't another T-shirt, is it? You've got a million already.
Wrong again. It's a jacket, see? It'll look cool with my favourite jeans. Maybe I'll wear it to the match on Saturday. What do you think?
Sure, why not? I actually don't mind it.
Question 2. How would the teacher like students to travel home?
Hi, Dad. Don't worry, but the school coach has broken down on the way back from our school trip. So Ms. Allen, you know, our teacher, asked us all to get off. We're at Brooks Shopping Mall on the edge of town. A few students live nearby and wanted to go on foot, but Ms. Allen's requested that parents pick us up if they can. Would you be able to do that, please? And on the way, could we also give Amanda a lift to the train station? Call me. Hi, Dad. Don't worry, but the school coach has broken down on the way back from our school trip. So Ms. Allen, you know, our teacher, asked us all to get off. We're at Brooks Shopping Mall on the edge of town. A few students live nearby and wanted to go on foot, but Ms. Allen's requested that parents pick us up if they can. Would you be able to do that, please? And on the way, could we also give Amanda a lift to the train station? Call me.
Question 3. What will the cousins do tomorrow?
Are we still going to the sports centre tomorrow?
I don't know. The weather's going to be warm and fine, so why don't we do something outdoors instead? I'm not getting in that lake again, though. It was absolutely freezing last time.
Okay. Did you ever find your tennis racket, by the way?
I'm afraid not. Who knows where it went? How about a hike? We could go up that hill we tried to cycle up one time.
That sounds like a plan, then. I'm sure it won't be as challenging that way. Are we still going to the sports center tomorrow?
I don't know. The weather's going to be warm and fine, so why don't we do something outdoors instead? I'm not getting in that lake again, though. It was absolutely freezing last time.
Okay. Did you ever find your tennis racket, by the way?
I'm afraid not. Who knows where it went? How about a hike? We could go up that hill we tried to cycle up one time.
That sounds like a plan, then. I'm sure it won't be as challenging that way.
Question 4. Which is Grandad's new home?
I can't wait to see Grandad's new home. Anything's got to be an improvement on his old stone cottage. It was falling apart.
Do you think he'll like urban life? He's been in the village for so long.
Sure. I mean, he chose the flat after all.
True. When I'm his age, I'm building a wooden hut in the woods away from everything.
You won't. Anyway, I thought Grandad might end up in one of those streets with new houses all around him.
I'm glad he changed his mind.
I can't wait to see Grandad's new home. Anything's got to be an improvement on his old stone cottage. It was falling apart.
Do you think he'll like urban life? He's been in the village for so long.
Sure. I mean, he chose the flat after all.
True. When I'm his age, I'm building a wooden hut in the woods away from everything.
You won't. Anyway, I thought Grandad might end up in one of those streets with new houses all around him.
I'm glad he changed his mind.
Question 5. Who did the boy see in town?
Guess who I saw in town?
Our science teacher, Mr. Parks. I see him about town a lot.
Nope. But what do you think of his big beard?
I like it. It's fashionable. And he's changed his glasses too. They're cool.
Yeah. The person I saw today wears similar ones. And he's lost all his hair now. It used to be short.
Was it Uncle Peter?
No. The person I saw's also got a beard. A moustache too.
I know. It's Mr. Johansson from the old sweet shop.
Well done. Guess who I saw in town?
Our science teacher, Mr. Parks. I see him about town a lot.
Nope. But what do you think of his big beard?
I like it. It's fashionable. And he's changed his glasses too. They're cool.
Yeah. The person I saw today wears similar ones. And he's lost all his hair now. It used to be short.
Was it Uncle Peter?
No. The person I saw's also got a beard. A moustache too.
I know. It's Mr. Johansson from the old sweet shop.
Well done.
Question 6. What has the girl chosen to eat?
Hi, it's me. Where are you? You're over half an hour late now. Shall I order for you? The menu looks really good here. There's our favourite, pasta with tomato sauce. Do you fancy that? Or are you still being healthy? If so, there's a nice salad. Today's sandwich special is cheese. I've gone for that. I've seen some coming out of the kitchen and they're all melted and smell great. Or there's salmon. It comes with some kind of potatoes. Anyway, ring me back and let me know what you want. Hi, it's me. Where are you? You're over half an hour late now. Shall I order for you? The menu looks really good here. There's our favourite, pasta with tomato sauce. Do you fancy that? Or are you still being healthy? If so, there's a nice salad. Today's sandwich special is cheese. I've gone for that. I've seen some coming out of the kitchen and they're all melted and smell great. Or there's salmon. It comes with some kind of potatoes. Anyway, ring me back and let me know what you want.
Question 7. Which photo will the boy send in for the competition?
Your photography's improving.
Oh, thanks. I'm thinking of entering a competition.
Then you should definitely submit this picture of the children playing. Did you take it when we were in the park the other day?
Yes, and one of the clouds at sunset too. Look, but I think you're right. I'll send in the photo you like. I did this one of the windsurfers, but it didn't come out well.
Never mind. This is interesting. Look at Grandma's expression. Was she fast asleep?
Yes, I'm not sending that one in. She wouldn't like it.
Your photography's improving.
Oh, thanks. I'm thinking of entering a competition.
Then you should definitely submit this picture of the children playing. Did you take it when we were in the park the other day?
Yes, and one of the clouds at sunset too. Look, but I think you're right. I'll send in the photo you like. I did this one of the windsurfers, but it didn't come out well.
Never mind. This is interesting. Look at Grandma's expression. Was she fast asleep?
Yes, I'm not sending that one in. She wouldn't like it.
Question 8. What will people definitely be able to see in the mountains?
If you're hoping to see interesting wildlife in the mountains this weekend, you may be in luck. If you're happy to wait a few hours, you might spot the eagle that's been seen in the area. As it's springtime, look out for baby rabbits. There will be hundreds of them, so you can't miss them. If you look very carefully, there's a small chance of seeing wild goats, though they usually run away when they see people. What you won't see is the horses. They've been moved to a different area where there's more for them to eat. If you're hoping to see interesting wildlife in the mountains this weekend, you may be in luck. If you're happy to wait a few hours, you might spot the eagle that's been seen in the area. As it's springtime, look out for baby rabbits. There will be hundreds of them, so you can't miss them. If you look very carefully, there's a small chance of seeing wild goats, though they usually run away when they see people. What you won't see is the horses. They've been moved to a different area where there's more for them to eat.
That is the end of exercise 1. Now turn to exercise 2. Exercise 2. You will hear 5 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. You will hear 2 classmates talking about a science experiment they have done. Now look at questions 9 and 10.
It took me a while to understand what we were doing in that science experiment. I'm glad our teacher gave us everything we needed, already weighed out. At least we eventually got that metal thing to stand up properly, you know, the one that held the glass jar. And the experiment went as we'd hoped.
Yeah. How do you feel about the experiment now that we've done it? I don't know how useful it was for everyday life, and science still isn't my favourite thing to study.
But we've got some new practical skills which we'll be able to use in similar lessons.
That's true. I never used to be any good at science, but I'm definitely better at it now.
It took me a while to understand what we were doing in that science experiment. I'm glad our teacher gave us everything we needed, already weighed out. At least we eventually got that metal thing to stand up properly, you know, the one that held the glass jar. And the experiment went as we'd hoped.
Yeah. How do you feel about the experiment now that we've done it? I don't know how useful it was for everyday life, and science still isn't my favourite thing to study.
But we've got some new practical skills which we'll be able to use in similar lessons.
That's true. I never used to be any good at science, but I'm definitely better at it now.
You will hear 2 friends talking about a holiday they have been on. Now look at questions 11 and 12.
Thanks for inviting me to go camping with you.
I'd never pitched a tent before. That was an experience.
Especially in that storm with everything blowing around. It was a good idea not to get too near the forest. No chance of our tent getting caught in branches. And luckily, we avoided that large area of damp grass.
Yeah. Anyway, the activities the campsite ran were brilliant. Like yoga, I never expected to enjoy it so much. The instructor said we might feel a bit tired when we'd finished. I was actually full of energy.
Yeah, I was too. That was great. It was good for us not to just sit around doing nothing. Some of the positions were weird, though.
True. Thanks for inviting me to go camping with you. I'd never pitched a tent before. That was an experience.
Especially in that storm with everything blowing around. It was a good idea not to get too near the forest. No chance of our tent getting caught in branches. And luckily, we avoided that large area of damp grass.
Yeah. Anyway, the activities the campsite ran were brilliant. Like yoga, I never expected to enjoy it so much. The instructor said we might feel a bit tired when we'd finished. I was actually full of energy.
Yeah, I was too. That was great. It was good for us not to just sit around doing nothing. Some of the positions were weird, though.
True.
You will hear a boy leaving a message about cooking for his family. Now look at questions 13 and 14.
Hi, just letting you know my aunt's birthday party went well. I didn't think I'd be able to cook for so many people. I'm glad Mr. James came up with ideas for me. You know, the guy who cooks at the cafe? His food's simple but tasty. I'm looking forward to making dishes with the cookery instructor at school next term now. I had a bit of a disaster, though, with some cakes I made. They were all black and tasted bitter, and not because I didn't use enough sugar. Next time, I'll know not to use such a high temperature. At least the cakes didn't end up all over the floor like the soup Mum made. Anyway, it didn't matter. Hi, just letting you know my aunt's birthday party went well. I didn't think I'd be able to cook for so many people. I'm glad Mr. James came up with ideas for me. You know, the guy who cooks at the cafe? His food's simple but tasty. I'm looking forward to making dishes with the cookery instructor at school next term now. I had a bit of a disaster, though, with some cakes I made. They were all black and tasted bitter, and not because I didn't use enough sugar. Next time, I'll know not to use such a high temperature. At least the cakes didn't end up all over the floor like the soup Mum made. Anyway, it didn't matter.
You will hear two friends talking about going to volunteer on a farm. Now look at questions 15 and 16.
Have you decided to volunteer on the farm outside town?
Yeah, I reckon it'll be hard work mending fences after kangaroos have bounced through them, so it'll be useful for the farmers to have us there. That's why I'm signing up. I hate it when you see sheep that have escaped wandering into the wild countryside. They could end up eating things that may be toxic for them.
So are you excited?
You bet. I'll be starting quite early, which will be really nice because it'll be peaceful and cool then. I might be working on my own or with others. I know the farmers' kids. Maybe they'll be around. I'm not sure. It's unlikely there will be time to pick up much farming knowledge, though.
Have you decided to volunteer on the farm outside town?
Yeah, I reckon it'll be hard work mending fences after kangaroos have bounced through them, so it'll be useful for the farmers to have us there. That's why I'm signing up. I hate it when you see sheep that have escaped wandering into the wild countryside. They could end up eating things that may be toxic for them.
So, are you excited?
You bet. I'll be starting quite early, which will be really nice because it'll be peaceful and cool then. I might be working on my own or with others. I know the farmers' kids. Maybe they'll be around. I'm not sure. It's unlikely there will be time to pick up much farming knowledge, though.
You will hear a sister and brother talking about a knitting class they've been to. Now look at questions 17 and 18.
I didn't think I'd end up at a knitting class with you, though I used to love watching Grandma knit.
But you wanted to design your own clothes.
Not this kind of thing. You owe me. You'll have to come to that dance class I want to try. You were too nervous to do this alone, and I feel the same about that.
That's fair. Anyway, the class is over now, and it wasn't that bad, was it? And look, you've made that.
It's a scarf.
If you say so. But I'm genuinely glad we've done this. I did all right, but I'll have to put more effort into the classes to get really good. I'm determined to keep going, though.
I didn't think I'd end up at a knitting class with you, though I used to love watching Grandma knit.
But you wanted to design your own clothes.
Not this kind of thing. You owe me. You'll have to come to that dance class I want to try. You were too nervous to do this alone, and I feel the same about that.
That's fair. Anyway, the class is over now, and it wasn't that bad, was it? And look, you've made that.
It's a scarf.
If you say so. But I'm genuinely glad we've done this. I did all right, but I'll have to put more effort into the classes to get really good. I'm determined to keep going, though.
That is the end of exercise 2. Now turn to exercise 3. Exercise 3. You will hear a boy called Kirill giving a talk about a small animal called the European hedgehog. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the talk twice. Now look at questions 19 to 26.
Hi, I'm Kirill, and I'd like to tell you about hedgehogs in the UK. I've always loved hedgehogs with their cute little faces and shining black eyes, but I haven't picked one up since realising how sharp the spikes on their back were when I was a kid. You rarely see them because they generally come out at night time, but if you do see one and you're quiet, you can actually get quite close to them. Unfortunately, in the UK, the European hedgehog's at risk. I wanted to do something to help, but no one I talked to locally knew how to get involved. Luckily, the subject came up in a short podcast I was listening to, where I got ideas about ways we can protect hedgehogs. I looked at websites to find a conservation group nearby, but couldn't see anything. Anyway, one day, I went to a presentation given by a wildlife charity about hedgehogs and everything they do during an average day. That was fascinating. We were also told what happens to hedgehogs physically during their long winter sleep and the spots they'd prefer to hide in if the option was always available, under hedges. People sometimes look after hedgehogs in the wrong way. They only need help with food when the weather's very dry. They can eat cat food biscuits, provided they aren't fish-flavoured. And bread's a definite no, though some of us haven't understood this message yet. But we're all aware that milk gives hedgehogs a bad stomach, so it's important to only provide water to drink. Apparently, hedgehogs travel long distances each night, which can be difficult for them to do in large cities. Someone told me about conservation work where experts create what they call hedgehog corridors. These are green areas that conservationists connect up so that hedgehogs can safely find routes through the city, like the way cars travel along highways. Great idea! I decided to help hedgehogs get from my parents' garden to our neighbours. You can cut a piece out of a fence or remove a brick from a wall. You should put something through the hole to support it. I found a plastic pipe, perfect for the job, which the animals can walk through. You could even use a wooden support, like part of a tree trunk. I've also visited a hedgehog rescue centre. Hedgehogs get run over, and some were there being treated after such an event. People ought to look out for hedgehogs when they're driving around. And I couldn't believe how many baby hedgehogs were there. They'd become separated from their mothers and needed feeding to stop them from becoming physically exhausted. I've just started a hedgehog blog, and its principal aim is to help people understand more about the lives of hedgehogs. I'd also love to hear about ways in which people are protecting hedgehogs in their neighbourhoods, or successful campaigns where people have donated to funds which support hedgehog projects.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hi, I'm Kirill, and I'd like to tell you about hedgehogs in the UK. I've always loved hedgehogs with their cute little faces and shining black eyes, but I haven't picked one up since realising how sharp the spikes on their back were when I was a kid. You rarely see them because they generally come out at night time, but if you do see one and you're quiet, you can actually get quite close to them. Unfortunately, in the UK, the European hedgehog's at risk. I wanted to do something to help, but no one I talked to locally knew how to get involved. Luckily, the subject came up in a short podcast I was listening to, where I got ideas about ways we can protect hedgehogs. I looked at websites to find a conservation group nearby, but couldn't see anything. Anyway, one day, I went to a presentation given by a wildlife charity about hedgehogs and everything they do during an average day. That was fascinating. We were also told what happens to hedgehogs physically during their long winter sleep and the spots they'd prefer to hide in if the option was always available, under hedges. People sometimes look after hedgehogs in the wrong way. They only need help with food when the weather's very dry. They can eat cat food biscuits, provided they aren't fish-flavoured. And bread's a definite no, though some of us haven't understood this message yet. But we're all aware that milk gives hedgehogs a bad stomach, so it's important to only provide water to drink. Apparently, hedgehogs travel long distances each night, which can be difficult for them to do in large cities. Someone told me about conservation work where experts create what they call hedgehog corridors. These are green areas that conservationists connect up so that hedgehogs can safely find routes through the city, like the way cars travel along highways. Great idea! I decided to help hedgehogs get from my parents' garden to our neighbours. You can cut a piece out of a fence or remove a brick from a wall. You should put something through the hole to support it. I found a plastic pipe, perfect for the job, which the animals can walk through. You could even use a wooden support, like part of a tree trunk. I've also visited a hedgehog rescue centre. Hedgehogs get run over, and some were there being treated after such an event. People ought to look out for hedgehogs when they're driving around. And I couldn't believe how many baby hedgehogs were there. They'd become separated from their mothers and needed feeding to stop them from becoming physically exhausted. I've just started a hedgehog blog, and its principal aim is to help people understand more about the lives of hedgehogs. I'd also love to hear about ways in which people are protecting hedgehogs in their neighbourhoods, or successful campaigns where people have donated to funds which support hedgehog projects.
That is the end of exercise 3. Now turn to exercise 4. Exercise 4. You will hear 6 people talking about their part-time jobs. For questions 27 to 32, choose from the list A to H which idea each speaker expresses. Write the correct letter, A to H, on the answer line. Use each letter only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Now read statements A to H. Speaker 1.
I work in a clothing store at the weekends, and it's been a positive experience. I mainly restock the shelves, collecting whatever's needed from the storeroom, for example, different sizes. I'm being trained how to take payments next week, and I'll need to be really organised for that. I don't mind interacting with customers, though I'm still quite shy. Anyway, I've realised retail is the field I'd like to go into, and I've applied for a retail management course.
Speaker 2.
I've got a part-time job in a garden centre where people come to buy plants for their outside spaces. When I say I knew nothing about plants before I started here, I mean not a single thing. I've gained tons of knowledge about what they are, how to look after them, where they should go, and the job's really interesting. I particularly like working with shoppers and finding just the right thing for them. Shame about the rubbish pay, though.
Speaker 3.
My job's in a pizza takeaway shop. It's a lot of doing the same thing, putting stuff on the pizzas before they go in the oven. But there are a few of us doing it, so it isn't all just down to me. The manager's put me in touch with a couple of her colleagues who teach food technology at a local college. That's great. Although this job's a bit dull. I've always wanted to work with food somehow.
Speaker 4.
I'm a waiter in a cafe 3 times a week. It's fun and I get free meals. That's a bonus because they do the best soups. All kinds of customers come in for coffee and a chat, and I feel confident around them. I had a lovely surprise once when someone came in asking for me, and it turned out they were a cousin I'd never met. I could probably earn more in a different job, but I love it here.
Speaker 5.
I'm a lifeguard at a swimming pool. I watch over the pool, ready to help if anyone needs it, and I make sure people follow the rules. My ambition's to become a diving instructor. I never wanted to do anything else. There might be someone at the pool that could give me some tips, so I'll ask around. The responsibility I have in this job's improved my belief in myself loads, and I think I'd make a good instructor.
Speaker 6.
I help out at a wildlife park. I love it, and I'm managing to put money aside each month for my studies at a later date. I've wanted to work as a vet for as long as I can remember. The animals are amazing to work with. Mostly, I'm involved in cleaning and feeding, but I've also observed the full-time employees do health checks. The animals can be quite cheeky. There's a monkey that steals my hat every single day.
Now you will hear the six speakers again. Speaker 1.
I work in a clothing store at the weekends, and it's been a positive experience. I mainly restock the shelves, collecting whatever's needed from the storeroom, for example, different sizes. I'm being trained how to take payments next week, and I'll need to be really organised for that. I don't mind interacting with customers, though I'm still quite shy. Anyway, I've realised retail is the field I'd like to go into, and I've applied for a retail management course.
Speaker 2.
I've got a part-time job in a garden centre where people come to buy plants for their outside spaces. When I say I knew nothing about plants before I started here, I mean not a single thing. I've gained tons of knowledge about what they are, how to look after them, where they should go, and the job's really interesting. I particularly like working with shoppers and finding just the right thing for them. Shame about the rubbish pay, though.
Speaker 3.
My job's in a pizza takeaway shop. It's a lot of doing the same thing, putting stuff on the pizzas before they go in the oven. But there are a few of us doing it, so it isn't all just down to me. The manager's put me in touch with a couple of her colleagues who teach food technology at a local college. That's great. Although this job's a bit dull. I've always wanted to work with food somehow.
Speaker 4.
I'm a waiter in a cafe 3 times a week. It's fun and I get free meals. That's a bonus because they do the best soups. All kinds of customers come in for coffee and a chat, and I feel confident around them. I had a lovely surprise once when someone came in asking for me, and it turned out they were a cousin I'd never met. I could probably earn more in a different job, but I love it here.
Speaker 5.
I'm a lifeguard at a swimming pool. I watch over the pool, ready to help if anyone needs it, and I make sure people follow the rules. My ambition's to become a diving instructor. I never wanted to do anything else. There might be someone at the pool that could give me some tips, so I'll ask around. The responsibility I have in this job's improved my belief in myself loads, and I think I'd make a good instructor.
Speaker 6.
I help out at a wildlife park. I love it, and I'm managing to put money aside each month for my studies at a later date. I've wanted to work as a vet for as long as I can remember. The animals are amazing to work with. Mostly, I'm involved in cleaning and feeding, but I've also observed the full-time employees do health checks. The animals can be quite cheeky. There's a monkey that steals my hat every single day.
That is the end of exercise 4. Now turn to exercise 5. Exercise 5. You will hear an interview with a woman called Molly, who is talking about an activity called forest bathing. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice. Now look at questions 33 to 40.
Molly, you have a hobby known as forest bathing. What's that?
Well, what it isn't is taking a bath in a forest. It's a concept which is basically a process of relaxation in the forest. It's a relatively straightforward method of being calm and quiet amongst the trees. You observe nature whilst breathing deeply. It boosts mental well-being in a natural way, though you need to keep doing it to really feel the benefits. Once isn't enough.
Forest bathing started in Japan. How successful was it there?
Well, the government introduced it in the 1980s as a kind of exercise, and it quickly took off. The government's idea was to motivate people to give equal priority to life inside and away from the office, and this was their major achievement. It was hoped that visiting forests would also inspire people to discover other green spaces around them. Protecting the environment was in its early days, and it was a while before people started to take this more seriously.
What do you do during a forest bathing session?
There are various ways to do it. Some people actually lie down in the forest as though they're resting. Other people, this includes me, walk through the forest. I stop and listen to the birds singing, touch the trees, smell the plants. I make an effort to make every part of me aware of my surroundings.
Can you do forest bathing anywhere?
Anywhere there's access to nature, even your own garden. You don't want to be disturbed while you're doing it, so you should pick somewhere peaceful where there's no farm machinery operating or busy traffic in the background. It's almost impossible to avoid walkers and nature lovers, even when it's rainy or cold, but I find most people keep themselves to themselves.
What was your first experience of forest bathing like?
I wasn't completely sure how to go about it. I headed to a park and stood with my feet in one spot amongst the ancient trees, staring up at them. A few people walking past glanced at me like I was a bit weird, but I ignored them. The only thing was that I just couldn't switch my brain off. It kept going back to everything I needed to do. It was a bit irritating, to be honest.
Presumably, you're good at forest bathing now.
I think so. I decided I'd probably really enjoy it if I could make it work. So I put in the effort. I didn't have anyone to get tips from because no one I know does it. Eventually, I understood what I needed to do, and now it only takes me minutes to get into the right mood. I've seen groups out forest bathing, but I don't usually approach them.
Tell us about the places you go to forest bathe.
Well, there are plenty of places near home that I regularly head to. They're not ideal because of their small size, but I don't have the option of travelling further on a daily basis. If I could go to Japan and do a forest bathing tour, that'd be incredible. Maybe I'll get there eventually.
Any tips for someone who wants to try forest bathing?
You could try some general relaxation techniques beforehand, if you find it hard to chill out. Thinking about what you're doing gets in the way, so just go along and see what happens. It'll come to you in the end. Some people might seem puzzled when you mention it, as it's still a relatively new idea. It may seem strange at first, but don't let that put you off.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Molly, you have a hobby known as forest bathing. What's that?
Well, what it isn't is taking a bath in a forest. It's a concept which is basically a process of relaxation in the forest. It's a relatively straightforward method of being calm and quiet amongst the trees. You observe nature whilst breathing deeply. It boosts mental well-being in a natural way, though you need to keep doing it to really feel the benefits. Once isn't enough.
Forest bathing started in Japan. How successful was it there?
Well, the government introduced it in the 1980s as a kind of exercise, and it quickly took off. The government's idea was to motivate people to give equal priority to life inside and away from the office. And this was their major achievement. It was hoped that visiting forests would also inspire people to discover other green spaces around them. Protecting the environment was in its early days, and it was a while before people started to take this more seriously.
What do you do during a forest bathing session?
There are various ways to do it. Some people actually lie down in the forest as though they're resting. Other people, this includes me, walk through the forest. I stop and listen to the birds singing, touch the trees, smell the plants. I make an effort to make every part of me aware of my surroundings.
Can you do forest bathing anywhere?
Anywhere there's access to nature, even your own garden. You don't want to be disturbed while you're doing it, so you should pick somewhere peaceful where there's no farm machinery operating or busy traffic in the background. It's almost impossible to avoid walkers and nature lovers, even when it's rainy or cold, but I find most people keep themselves to themselves.
What was your first experience of forest bathing like?
I wasn't completely sure how to go about it. I headed to a park and stood with my feet in one spot amongst the ancient trees, staring up at them. A few people walking past glanced at me like I was a bit weird, but I ignored them. The only thing was that I just couldn't switch my brain off. It kept going back to everything I needed to do. It was a bit irritating, to be honest.
Presumably, you're good at forest bathing now.
I think so. I decided I'd probably really enjoy it if I could make it work. So I put in the effort. I didn't have anyone to get tips from because no one I know does it. Eventually, I understood what I needed to do, and now it only takes me minutes to get into the right mood. I've seen groups out forest bathing, but I don't usually approach them.
Tell us about the places you go to forest bathe.
Well, there are plenty of places near home that I regularly head to. They're not ideal because of their small size, but I don't have the option of travelling further on a daily basis. If I could go to Japan and do a forest bathing tour, that'd be incredible. Maybe I'll get there eventually.
Any tips for someone who wants to try forest bathing?
You could try some general relaxation techniques beforehand, if you find it hard to chill out. Thinking about what you're doing gets in the way, so just go along and see what happens. It'll come to you in the end. Some people might seem puzzled when you mention it, as it's still a relatively new idea. It may seem strange at first, but don't let that put you off.
That is the end of exercise 5. You now have 6 minutes to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. I will remind you when there is 1 minute left. You have one more minute left. That is the end of the examination.